Well, I've got Nincha today, so I'm going to begin around. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the Mishnah and then give them a day. We'll do two lines in the Mishnah and then we'll go on. So let's look at the Mishnah. Yeah, so if you go to Nun Gimel Amud Beis 53b, page 106, we'll do the second very wide line. Okay, I have it. So this is after he's sprinkled the par blood in the Kodesh Kedashim and the seer blood in the Kodesh Kedashim, and he sprinkled each one towards the parocha, and he's about to put the blood on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Say again, Mike. Well, he didn't mix it yet. So now on the second one line, he radam apar the toch dama seir. So the Tana of the Mishnah says he poured the dama par into the dama seir. So the dama par is more blood from a par than a seir. So he pours the dama par into the dama seir. Then a Tana of Malebrekan. Then he takes one that he just filled, which was the bowl that had the seer blood, but now it's got the par blood in it. He pours them both back into the first cup. Let's look at the Rashi on this. So Rashi says, "Ira dama par v'chulei kidati b'mat nodem isbeach lakach midam par midam seir midam shnei miyachdav." So if lakach midam par midam seir, so it means both of them together, which is what we discussed yesterday about whether you have to mix them. But atanam malei v'chulei b'gmar mafarsh chozir malei mizrach malei l'tocha reikan kli la'ar van yefes. The Gemara is going to explain that he took the one with the mix, then he put it back into the other one.
Or
right. Seer. Let's go to the par. We'll call bowl A. The seer will call bowl B. So it's A to B, then B back to A. All right. So it gets mixed well. Okay. Now we're on daf nun chet amud aleph, around the 10th line from the top. So the Gemara is going to have a question, which is going to connect back to our Mishnah. Rami bar Chama mi Rav Chista. Rami bar Chama posed the following question to Rav Chista. Yinich mizrak betok mizrak v'kibel v'rodam mahu. Now, it says by every korban, this is not talking about Yom Kippur, it's talking about where Nun Ched Amud Aleph around 10 lines down. So by 58a, Nun Ched Amud Aleph around 10 lines down. So by every korban, there's a mitzvah Kabbalah Saddam. You have to receive the blood in a keli. So it says again, it has similar pasut, Balakacha Kohen Midam. So Rami bar Chama is asking Rav Chista, let's say the coin puts one mizrak and another mizrak. In other words, I have an empty bowl and I put it in another empty bowl, but it's all clay sharet, but I have one bowl on top of the other bowl. So in other words, the coin has to touch the bowl that receives the blood. So the question is going to be, is this a chatzitza, or is it min bimino? There's an idea that sometimes min bimino, lo baktil. So we'll see in a minute. So we're on the 10th line. You have the place, Shaya and Ed, around the 10th line, 58A. So if the coin put one bowl in the other bowl, in other words, two empty bowls, the kibel bowl adam, and then he did kabbalah sadam with the interior bowl mahu. So is that a good kabbalah sadam? There was a coin that can't be a chatzitza between the coin's hands and the mizrach that's accepting the blood. So min bimino chotzeitz. Do we say that a min bimino? Now both these kalim, the Rashi takes it. On the second wide line, min bimino mizrach mizrach. One bowl with another bowl is min bimino. So another pshat is they're both gold or they're both klisharei, but here it's the same mizrach. But either way, it's min bimino. One item with the same item is that chotzeitz. So if it's chotzeitz, it's not a good kabbalah sadam. Oh, ain't no chotzeitz, or it's not a chatzitza. That's the question. So Amar Lei, so Rav Chista says back to Rami bar Chama, Tani Tua. We learned the answer to this question in the Mishnah. Which is our Mishnah, which we just did a few moments ago. Tana Malebere Khan, that again, Mishnah says that he poured blood from one to the other. And then what does the Mishnah say? Let's go back. It says, let me just look back at the Mishnah. So it says, Iradam apart so dama seir, then a Tana Hamalebere Khan. And he put the full one into the empty one. So we said it means he pours bowl B back into bowl A. But the way he understands it, the Tana Malebere Khan, my love, Hoshib Mizrach Malay, the Tok Mizrach Rekan. Is it not saying that he took now this full bowl of blood and now, right, he doubles it with two bowls? So why would you do double with two bowls? I saw one shot is that in case there's an overflow, he'll catch the overflow in the other one. So if that's the case, then I haven't answered my question. And the Mishnah is teaching me that one keli with another keli is not in a chotzeis. So the Gemara deflects that proof. The Gemara is low. Iram Mizrach Malin Sof Mizrach Rekan. No, it means that he poured the blood back into the first cup, that, yeah. Which is the way we said it. Yeah. So the Gemara says Hatanali Reishi Radam Par Sof Damasir. But he already said that he's pouring. In other words, we said in the Mishnah, we're pouring. In other words, the par blood is in bowl A, and the seer blood is in bowl B. So he's pouring A into B. So it's already mixed. Why would he pour it back B into A? That's the question. So he says, "Kidei la arvin yafet." No, in other words, the argument is that it's not logical. So it means that he put the cup in the other cup. But no, it could be he's pouring it back in because he wants the bloods to mix very well together, and that's indeed the way the Gemara is saying the shot. So we don't have a proof one way or another from our Mishnah, okay? In terms of about the min b'mino and min b'sheino b'mino. Let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause, okay? So Tashma. If min b'mino is chotzeitz, then we have.
Tashma, we don't know.
If it was, it's talui with this question. Whether if it's not min b'mino, then it's definitely chotzeitz. That is definitely chotzeitz. Okay, so the Gemara says Tashma. So we're going to try to bring a proof from I think it's a Mishnah Masechet Tzvachim. It says Hayahu made now the Kohen, just like he can't have anything mafsi between his hands and the keli, he also can't have anything being mafsi between the floor and his feet. In other words, he doesn't wear shoes. Doesn't wear anything in the base of Mikdash, he walks barefoot. There can't be any chatzitz between the Kohen's feet and the floor of the base of Mikdash. So the Mishnah says, Hayomel Gabi Kli, or Gabi Regal Chaveru Pasul. If the Kohen was standing on a Kli, on some utensil, or Regal Chaveru, his friend's feet, it's Pasul. So the proof here is from Regal Chaveru. In other words, his friend's foot he's got his own feet. He's standing on his friend's feet, and yet the Mishnah is saying that's a chatzitza. That's a raya that min b'mino is chotzeitz. That's the raya. So the Gemara says no, not necessarily the case. Shani Regal d'lomatzi mevatilei. Now it could be that with the Regal. Now the way our gears in the Gemara is, he the Kohen who's doing avoda can't be mevatilei. It means I can't designate that this foot is not going to move for this whole period of time that I'm doing the avoda. In other words, I can't consign it like, in other words, if I have a keli, that's it. I'm using the keli for what I'm doing, then that's batel. But here, this coin may decide to walk away. So I can't, so it could be me and Bimino is a no kotates, but where it's like it's his own person with his own mind, then it would be a chatzitz because he could walk away. Now, our girsum of Gemara is lo maxi mevatele, that he is not in a position to be mevatele. So that's focusing on the Kohen who's doing the avoda. If you look at Rashi, Rashi has the lo mevatele chavero at raglo hachin mura avodato. That his chaver is not mevatele. It means the chaver has not committed to leaving his feet there at the same time. So the nafka meaning would be that if the chaver says I could leave my feet the whole time. In other words, so according to the way that Rashi has it, then you'd be cooking with fire. But according to the way that Gemara has it, not, because since he couldn't move away, it's different. So the bottom line is, Gemara has not been able to be mevarer whether min b'mino is chotzeitz or min b'mino is eino chotzeitz. In other words, either way is plausible from what we have said up till now. So, but ika da amri, but others want to say, and again, we hold the halakha that min b'mino is eino chotzeitz. But ika da amri, some say, and in this lashon, we take that min b'mino is eino chotzeitz as a given, that's not chotzeitz. But ika da amri, achibay minay, this is what Rami Bar Chama was asking Rav Chista, derech sheir b'kach who ain't derech sheir b'kach. In other words, in achinami, min b'mino is not chotzeitz. So I can take one bowl and put another bowl, and it's not a problem with chatzitza, but is that derech sheir? Is that the proper way to do a voda in the base of Mekdash? In other words, it's more of a lechakila. Lechakila, can I take one bowl and put it in another bowl? Is that derech sheir? Is that like considered like a voda? So Tashma, we learn right, the Tana to be Rabbi Shmuel. Bryce was taught in the base of Rabbi Shmuel. This pasuk is at the end of Parsha Bamidbar. It's talking about Bnei Kahat when they would wrap up the Mishkan and take all the kalim. So it refers to kol klei hasharei shishtum b'kodesh. So Rashi, the way Rashi takes it, clay is plural. Sharet is singular, meaning that shnei kelim is shirut achad, that you could have two kelim with one service and that's it. Okay, let me just pause for a moment and then we'll talk a little bit. So we were discussing the topic of whether min bimino is chotzeit or not. Okay, min bimino means if I have the same object, is that a chatzitza or not? Okay, that was the topic. So the Gemara had the question, if the Kohen has two bowls to do Kabbalah's dam, he's allowed to take bowl A and bowl B and be Kabbalah the dam, just for regular korban. So that's min bimino. So if min bimino is chotzeit, he can't because he has to be holding the bowl with the blood. Robert, you got this? Okay. So or is it not chotzeit and it doesn't make a difference? So when the first lashon, the Gemara was not able to, you know, make a clear determination. And in the second lashon, they took it as a given that it's not chotzeit, but it's just a question whether this is the right way to do a voda. Look, I feel like I do a voda this way in the base of Mikdash. So where min bimino comes in play, one example is, let's say you're putting on tefillin. Let's say I have my tefillin. So, you know, preferably the ritzua should not be between the bayit and the flesh. But let's say the ritzua of my yad is between the yad, the bayit, and my arm. Yeah, right. So that's, I think the Rama says that would be a case of min bimino, eino chotzeit. In other words, the ritzua is also part of the tefillin, so it's not a chatzitza. You can't have a chatzitza between the tefillin and your body. So that's not chotzeit that way. Oh, what? Wait, I don't understand the question. Like that? Yes, that's not. Yeah, that's not min bimino. See, that's not a. You know, it's sort of related. In other words, there the question is: is my own hand, is that considered a kisui? So, but that's a different question than min bimino's chotzeit. Min, in other words, it is the same min. In other words, in order to have a covering on the head, it has to be a different min. It's not considered a covering. But it's not quite the same question whether min bimino is chotzeit or not. Min bimino chotzeit means I have to touch something or be in contact with something. If I have a similar item that's in it, is that a chatzitza or not? That's the question. That's a little bit of a different question what you were asking. All right, now let's just see what we have here. I'll do a little bit from this Aladah. All right. So you talk about the two kalim, one and the other. Okay, now the Sfas Emes wonders what could possibly be the reason for inserting one vessel into another, as the Gemara initially assumed. So the Gemara initially assumed in the Mishnah, the Pshat Mishnah that Rav Chista favored initially is that he pours bowl A into bowl B, the bull blood into the seer blood, and then he takes that full blood, that full bowl, and he puts it into the empty bowl. That was the Havamina. So Sfas Emes is wondering, what was Rav Chista thinking? Why would I think that's the Pshat in the Mishnah? Why would I do that? Why would I take a bowl of blood? So he answers that perhaps it's not proper to abandon a mitzvah item once it was used for a mitzvah. In order not to humiliate, as it were, the empty vessel after it was used for a mitzvah as a container for the bull's blood, both vessels would be used for the continuation of the avodah. That's one Pshat. Alternatively, the Siach Yitzchak suggests, the first answer was from Sfas Emes. Second answer is from the Siach Yitzchak. The Siach Yitzchak suggests the outer empty vessel is needed to collect any blood that might overflow from the inner vessel. I have a lot of blood now in this bowl. I got the bull blood and I got the goat blood. He notes that we, in fact, find a similar protocol regarding the daily Ketoret offering. The Mishnah Talmud says the Kohen would carry the bazach, the vessel containing the daily Ketoret, in a large kaf. In other words, I have the bazach and then I have a kaf, he says, whose purpose was to collect any Ketoret overflowing from the bazach. So we see that sometimes they would have another vessel get any overflow. He's got more here, but I'm going to leave it with that. Okay, any questions, comments? Let's see what's up. Yeah, so whether I don't know the answer to that, but the Torah says that you need to do that. That's clear. The Torah says, well, I cock me down with par, me down with seir. All I could say, the only thing I could say is we know the par is to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael, for the Kohanim on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. In other words, for that, and the Seir is to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. So in some way, they're getting like separate tracks for Kapara, and then getting it together would be like a jointly. So I don't know more than that. Yeah, you'd have to look in the Mefarshim, the Chumash, and things like that. I don't know more than that. Right. Yeah, although I think we did see, there was an opinion in the Gemara, didn't we see this yesterday, that whether you have Arvin or not, in other words, that it was machloket, whether you do indeed mix the bloods or not, but the Torah of our Mishnah says that the bloods are indeed mixed. So it was the question, when the Torah says, well, kach mi dam par dam seir, doesn't mean, right, doesn't mean mix it together or keep it separate. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So so now we're 6 lines from the bottom, on Nun Chedem and Aleph 58a, 6 lines from the bottom. Okay, Ba'amini Rami Barchama Mirav Chista. Let me just make sure there's nobody else here. What? Okay, so Ba'amini Rami Barchama Mirav Chista. Oh, I should stand it up. Is that how you see me? Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. If, 1 second. Now, let's say you put the psiv is palm based. It's like a vine that grows around the base of the palm tree. And the key is it's like porous. You know, it's like things can pass through it. So let's say he put some of this palm based in the Mizrach. The Kibel Bo Adam, and it kabbalah Saddam with this. So this doesn't have to be on Yom Kippur. He just was Makabal Dam in a. So he says, please see the place, I'm sorry. The Kibel Damahu. Min B'Shen Omino Chotzeitz. Do I say this is clearly a Min B'Shen Omino? This is clearly an alien item, so it's Chotzeitz. Oh, Eno Chotzeitz. Now, when it says Eno Chotzeitz, it's Eno Chotzeitz for the reason that the Gemara is going to marshal right now. Why? Came into Mechaltel Lochai. So I say, since it's porous, it doesn't constitute a Chatzitza. Odum Aloshan, maybe it makes no difference. So it's clear the Min B'Shen Omino is Chotzeitz. But in these circumstances, we're at the porous item, is that considered to be a Chatzitza? In other words, here, right, so here the dam has to be in the bowl. I have to receive the dam in the bowl, and I have this palm bass there. So let's see what the Gemara says. So Amrle Tanina. So again, this was Rami Brachama asking Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says, Rami Brachama Tanina, we learn the answer to this in Mishnah Masechet Parah. Now, Mishnah Masechet Parah is talking about where you have the water that you're going to use for the purification. So it has to be Mayim Chayim, spring water. And then I have the afer, the par, the ashes of the paradumen, the ashes of the red heifer, and I'm going to mix it with the spring water. Now I have to put them in a keli. It has to be, it's kind of mayim chayim el keli. I have to put mayim chayim in a keli, and then I mix the ashes there. It's a question whether I put the water in and then put the ashes in, and the ashes in the water, but I have to mix it in the keli. So the case the Mishnah is speaking about, I have the mayim chayim, I have spring water coming out. And the spring water is going into a shoket. A shoket is like a piece of rock, which has been with a hollowed out hole on one side to form as a trough for animals to drink from. That would be typically what shoket would be used for. But that's the keli. So I have the waters going into this trough, and I'm going to mix the ashes of the paradum in the trough. So far, so good. So the spring water is going into the keli, and the ashes in the keli, I'm good. But in the trough, there's a sponge. So the question is, if there's a sponge there, so then the waters are not really able to touch the sides of the keli because the sponge is there. So the question is the sponge a chatzitza or not? Let's see back in the Gemara. So it says, Tarina, so leifa holeich. Now, the water that's in the sponge, I definitely cannot use because that's considered to be a separate keli, unquestionably. So what should I do? So I'll mix the ashes with the water. So leifa holeich me in the sponge. And then I'll draw off the water, pour it out, or whatever. Would drop off the water until I get to where the sponge is. And then at that point, I won't do it because I'm afraid I'm going to get sponge water in it. But the key is that notwithstanding the fact that the sponge is in the keli, it's not considered to be a chatzitza for the existing water and the existing ashes. That seems to support the idea that if something is porous, it's not a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, you're right, there is not a chatzitza there, but shani maya dekhlifi. I could say water is different than blood. Water is much more thinner, like blood is thicker than water, like you said. So the water is thinner, so maybe something which is not a chatzitza for water would be a chatzitza for blood. Or the others say, this is the way that the answer was resolved. The dam kasher, with blood, it would be good, but the komets pasul, meaning the bast, if I have the bast in the keli and I'm putting the water in it, then I'm good. But if I take the komets, like komets, which is the dry flour from the minutha, and I put it into a keli with the palm bass, that would not be good. That's a dry item. Right. So it's not considered. So that would be a chatzitza. I don't know what the bas is doing here, but it was done. That was it. Yeah.
That's it.
I don't know. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay, let's turn page to Amud Beis. Everybody with me? We're doing Amud Beis, 58B, line 1. Okay? So, Manitin, so now, let me just get the finish open, but you don't necessarily need it, but let me just finish. So he, the Kohen, is going to go to the Mizbeach HaShel L'Fnei Hashem. It means the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaZahav. The Kippur Lav is going to apply blood to the Mizbeach. He's going to apply the blood. The karnot are like these horns, like these protuberances on the corners of the Mizbeach. All right, let's see back in the Mishnah. Yatzal Mizbeach HaShel L'Fnei Hashem, Zeh Mizbeach HaZahav. So when it says the Mizbeach HaShel L'Fnei Hashem, that, by definition, that's like a code. That's talking about the Mizbeach HaZahav. Mizbeach HaZahav is the Mizbeach HaPnimi. It's also called the Mizbeach HaZahav. So it's called Mizbeach HaTorah, because that's the only one that's L'Fnei Hashem. And Rashi says, the Ilu Mizbeach HaChitzel Lav L'Fnei Hashem. The outer Mizbeach is not considered L'Fnei Hashem. This one is L'Fnei Hashem. So back in the Mishnah, Echil Mechatei V'Yorei. So now he's going to apply the blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach. So Mechatei V'Yorei, he dabs his finger, and he goes downward with the finger on the corner.
Excuse me, it's much better if you could you move over so that we could see you from the screen? Can you see me now? Yes, okay, much better. Thank you.
Okay. So he says, so on the second line, we're on 58B, the second line. Okay. So where does he begin? Which corner does he begin with? Nikaren Mizrachit Sfoni. It begins from the northeast corner, Sfoni Maravi, then he goes to the northwest corner. So he's going in a counterclockwise fashion, beginning from the northeast corner, then to the northwest corner, Ma'arabi Dromit, and the southwest corner, then Dromit Mizrachit, and the southeast corner. Now, Makom Shu Machil B'Chatad, on Mizbeach HaChiton, the place that he begins with the Korban Chatad, on the outer Mizbeach, you walk up to Mizbeach on the ramp. The ramp is in the south. And then you make your first right turn, you're in the southeast corner. So he says the place that you begin on the outer Mizbeach, which is the southeast corner, Bishamhu Gomer on Mizbeach HaPnimi. There he completes himself on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now, we don't know this yet, but it's going to be the Tanakam of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is going to hold like the Tana Rabbi Yossi, the different Tana earlier in this parak. If you remember, we had a Mishnah about the curtains between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. This was in the Mishnah on Nun Aleph Amud Beis on 51b. So Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Haitashim LaParochet Echad Bilvad. Rabbi Yossi holds that there was only one curtain between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. And so Rabbi Yossi holds that curtain was pulled back on the north. The north is the more Chashuv side. So the opening, the entrance was on the north side. So it means, according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, who subscribes to Rabbi Yossi's opinion, when the Kohen is entering and exiting the Kodesh Kodashim, he's on the north side. So the Gemara is going to explain that he's got to walk past the Mizbeach. So he walks past the Mizbeach, and he's on the northeast corner of the Mizbeach. He'll pass the northwest corner, then he'll be on the northeast corner, and then he'll begin his applications of the blood. Okay, and then he'll be going in a counterclockwise fashion. He'll be going Derech Yamin, which is what we've said before. Everybody good so far? I don't think so. Let me take a look. All right, which page is that? Okay, let me take a look. 104. One second. Yeah, you're right. That is it, but that's not the opinion I'm talking about. But that's the picture, but that's not the picture. In other words, the opinion that I'm talking about, the opening of the curtain would be on the right side, not on the left side. Okay, but that's the type of picture I'm looking for. All right, maybe they have in the back. All right, I don't know, but anyway, you got it right. Okay, all right, let's go further. Let's see, page 111. Yeah, that's the curtain opening the way I'd like it to be. And right, that's 100% correct. Right, that's the way the Rabbi Yossi would say it, like page 111. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. We're on line 4 on page 116. Everybody with me? Reb Lezer Omer, Ben Komo Hayomed, Umechate. Now, the Tana Reb Lezer says, now again, we said in the Mishnah that he's going to apply the blood upwards and then go down. Now, the reason he goes down with it, if he would go up, the blood would end up on his garments, as the Gemara says. In other words, if he keeps like, going up, the blood's going to end up on the garments. He's going to go down with it. Now, the first Tana holds that he's walking around the Mizbeach applying the blood. Now, the Mizbeach is not a large Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is one Amma by one Amma. So it's is it one Amma or two Amma? Two Amma. It might be two. It might be two. One second. Maybe the Gemara has it later. One second. We'll come up with it today. No, it's one Amma by one Amma. Yeah. In other words, it's two Amma in height, but it's one Amma by one Amma is the width and the length. So it's one Amma by one Amma. It's one Amma by one Amma. Is like a foot and a half or 2 feet by 2 feet. It's like being here. So according to one, he's walking around this way applying blood. According to Reb Lezer, he's staying in the spot and reaching over and applying it. Let's see back on the Gemara. So Reb Lezer may have been komo yomei to mechate. He would like apply the blood. But al kulam hayonotein in the makal the mala. So if he's leaning over like over the mizbeach, he can go upwards with it. He can go upwards with it. He's not afraid that that the blood is going to end up on his garment. Except for the one where he begins, and then he would go get afraid for the blood coming down. Then the Tana Mishnah says, after he applies the blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach, he sprinkles it seven times on the surface of the Mizbeach. The leftover blood then pours on the western side of the outer Mizbeach, and the leftover blood from the outer Mizbeach, and they did have different korbanot that day, he would pour on the southern side of that Mizbeach. Those two bloods would mix in the Amma, which is like the irrigation canal, or the channel that was in the Azara, it was in the Nachal Kidron, and then it would go to Nachal Kidron, the Kidron Valley, and then Karim Leganim Lezebel, and be sold the gardeners as a type of fertilizer, umolin bahen, is subject to me'ila if they don't pay for it. And Rashi says, Yishman Easterly no blow damim, but the Gemara is going to explain not today that that's a me'ila on a drabana level. Now, if you look, they have these beautiful picture books, and I'm very grateful for Dave Rice for at least for giving it to me, this Marat Yoma, but in the Marat Yoma, he has a picture, where is it? He has a picture, yeah. So if you look at pictures on page 107, he talks about the blood that's left over that you're pouring. So you see, he pours the blood in the top picture on 107. He's pouring the blood on the base that would be from the interior, from the Kodesh Hashem. Then it goes to a hole that's on the western side, and then the other blood he's pouring down the other hole. And then if you turn the page, the blood's mixed, and then they go, you see that it's in that channel over there on the top picture on 108. Okay.
106.
No. 106 is after he's done 106? 106. Oh, 106. Let me see. Which picture on 106? The bottom of 106. Yeah, 106, it looks like he's sprinkling on the top of his band. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's the Mishnah. Any questions on the Mishnah? Everybody good? All right, let's go further. So now we're in the Gemara. We're on Menchet Amud Beis, around the eighth line from the top, first line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Yatzal HaMizbeach. So now, again, it's the same Pasuk that we referred to earlier. It says in Parshat Acharonot, Yatzal HaMizbeach HaShulafei Hashem, that he, the Kohen Gadol, is going to go out to the Mizbeach, which is the Bnei Hashem. Ma Talmud and Lomar, why does it say, in other words, we know, it should just say that he sprinkles the blood on the Mizbeach. What's V'yatzal on the Mizbeach? So Amar Rebbe Nechemya, L'fishka Matzina B'par Baal Kol HaMitzvot, Shkona Min Chutz HaMizbeach, U'mazal Paroket, B'shashu Mazeh. By Par Baal Kol HaMitzvot, it means it could either be a part, it means the parhelin daber for tzibur. If you have, it's talking about the chataot primiot. So there's a par that the Kohen Gadol brings if he does an aveira, you know, that would be a key of chataot, but it's a, in other words, certain chataot or primiot, certain korbanot, the ravoda is in the kodesh. He was sprinkling towards the parochet and on the four corners of the inner mizbeah. So among them are the par of the Kohen Mashiach. If the Kohen does an Aveira that would be, like he makes an erroneous ruling, he does an Aveira that would normally be Chai B'Korban Chatat, that's one. And the other is par Helen Davar Shel Tzibur. If the Tzibur, they followed an erroneous ruling of the Sanhedrin. So par Baal Kol Mitzvot is that par Helen Davar Shel Tzibur. So par Baal Kol Mitzvot, Shekohen Amin Chutzim Mizbeach U'Mazel HaParochet B'Shashu Mazeh. So over there, the coin sprinkles towards the parochet, but he stands further away from the parochet. He stands, in other words, when you enter the kodesh, so the mizbeach is in the middle of the room. Okay, Robert, are you following? Everybody following? In other words, like, let's say this would be the kodesh, and let's say the shulchan would be the mizbeach. So, and let's say the parochet is where the aron is. So the coin, if he's doing the par helim davish tzibur, he would stop before where the shulchan is and then sprinkle towards the parochet, from a distance towards the parochet. So he says, so the Braisa says, since we know that's the case by par helim davashal tibur, yecholav zakein, I might have thought the same thing is true by the kata utprimio that are on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you have the parvus seir shliyom kippurim, are also kata utprimio. Tamalomar v'yatzal mizbeach. He'll go out to the Mizbeach, meaning, hey, Chanayo, lifnim in the Mizbeach. In other words, so first he was near the parochet, and sprinkling towards the parochet. Now he goes out, Yatzal HaMizbeach, he goes out to beyond the Mizbeach. That's what the Torah is teaching me. Everybody got it? I need everybody's attention, everybody full focus, okay? So the Torah says, Yatzal HaMizbeach, he'll go out to the Mizbeach. So the question is, why does the Torah have to say he will go out to the Mizbeach? Just say he's going to put the blood on the Mizbeach. What does it be outside the Mizbeach? So the Gemara is saying we have, I think there are five korbanot, there are five kataot pnimiot. There are five different animals that be a kataot pnimiot. We have the par v'sir on Yom Kippur. We have the par on Davish Tzibur. We have the par of the Kohen Mashiach. And I think the Sirei Avodah Zarah is also kataot pnimiot. Those are the five animals. Those are the only four kataot pnimiot. Kataot pnimiot means we're going to apply blood in the kodesh. We're going to sprinkle it towards the parochet and apply it on the inner mizbeach, and then the animals are taken out and chutz the Yerushalayim and burnt there. Though I think a part of them is burnt on the outer mizbeach. So the Gemara says that by the par helim davar shel tzibur, which is one of the chatot pnimiot, the kohen stands at a distance from the parochet. He stands beyond the mizbeach, so he doesn't come close to the parochet. He's there from a distance. So the Torah says here, "Biatzal Mizbeach," he'll go out to the Mizbeach. On Yom Kippur, it's not that way. On Yom Kippur, he's standing close to the parochet. As a result of which, when he comes to the Mizbeach, Biatzal Mizbeach, he has to go out to the Mizbeach. That's what he's saying. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let me go on now. We're up to Tani Ida. Everybody with me? Okay, Tani Ida. We learned a different braisa. It says, "Lifnei Hashem, Matom Lomar." Now this Lifnei Hashem is talking about the par of the other chataot pnimiot. One second, let me see which one he has here. It's the par of the Kohen Gadol. So by the par of the Kohen Gadol, it says he'll be Lifnei Hashem. Tzmatam Lomar. Avram Nechemya, the Pish Matina, the par of Sir Shlom Kibush, going to meet Lifnei Menam Zbeach, Mazel Parochet. He says, because we know by Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is right near the parochet. He says, Yechola of Zekein. So I might have thought that by the car of a Kohen Gadol, you know, for his private Aveira, that's the same way.
Tamalomar, Mizbach Torah Asamim Lefnei Hashem, Asher Bi'olam Oed. Mizbach Lefnei Hashem, that's the pasuk he's referring to, that the Mizbeach is Lefnei Hashem, Ve'in Kohen Lefnei Hashem, but the Kohen is not Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem means like you're right in front of the Aron, or closer to the Aron. So the Mizbeach is considered Lefnei Hashem, but the Kohen is not Lefnei Hashem, because he's further away. HaKetzad Omeid puts the Mizbeach on Mazep, because he's going to stand beyond the Mizbeach and sprinkle. On Yom Kippur, he's near the parochet. On all other times, he's further away. That's the basic idea, okay? All right, let me keep moving. So I don't want to... we still have a little more time. Okay, now, we're at the two dots on Nun Chen and Beis. Okay, let me just see if we... Anybody's, okay, I'm going to shut up and see anybody. Okay, now... So we said he began to dab his finger in the blood and apply the blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, he began to dab his finger and to go down on the corners. Where does he begin applying the blood? So this is a different opinion than what we learned earlier. He begins on the southeast corner, Dromit Maravi, then he goes to the southwest corner. He's going clockwise. Normally we go counterclockwise. So he's beginning, this is different than we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah we learned he began in the northeast corner. Now, but the Gemara is going to ask that question. We'll see. So to the right really means counterclockwise. So here we're going clockwise. So that's what I'm pointing out here. So he's doing two things. One, he's beginning on the southeast corner. Now, the southeast corner will come to see, and this is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, is remember, like, where was the opening for the Kohen Gadol with the curtains? In other words, so according to the Tana Kama in the Mishnah, which was Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he follows the Tana Rabbi Yossi, there was one opening in the north. But according to another opinion that we learned in the Mishnah, the opening was in the south. In other words, there's the openings in the south. So according to the opinion that the ingress and egress from the south, so he exits from the south because he came from the Kodesh Kedashim, so he's on the south side already. Then he walks past the Mizbeach and he starts in the southeast corner. So why he's in the southeast corner, that we got figured out. Rabbi Akiva, that's the way Rabbi Akiva will hold. But why he's going clockwise, we have to see how this is going. So he says, Dromit Maravit Sfonit, then to the northwest corner, then Sfonit Mizrachit to the northeast corner, the way Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili, I told you already, is the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. He says, Mikaren Mizrachit Sfonit, you begin from the northeast corner, Sfonit Maravit in the northwest corner, Maravit Romit the southwest corner, Romit Mizrachit the southeast corner. Makom Rabbi Yossi Aglili Machil, the place that Rabbi Yossi Aglili begins, which is in the northeast corner, Sham Rabbi Akiva Posek. That's where Rabbi Akiva comes to an end. Whereas Rabbi Akiva begins on the southeast, he ends in the northeast. That's the last corner. So the northeast is where Rabbi Yossi Aglili begins. Makom Rabbi Yossi Aglili Machil, the place that Rabbi Yossi Akiva begins is from the southeast corner, Sham Rabbi Yossi Aglili Posek. That's where Rabbi Yossi Aglili will come to a halt. Okay. So that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara says the Kuliyama Amir, but who turned the Paga Bereisha Lo Avid. Everybody agrees that the first corner that he encounters when he leaves the Kodesh Kedashim is not the one he applies blood to, because according to Rabbi Akiva, the first corner he encounters is the southwest corner, and he doesn't apply blood there. He goes to the southeast. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the first corner he encounters is the northwest corner. But he waits until he goes to the northeast corner. So the Gemara says, "My Tama, why does he not apply the blood to the first corner that he encounters?" Amar Shmuel, the Amar Krah, V'yatzal Mizbeach. The Torah says, "V'yatzal Mizbeach." He'll go out to the Mizbeach, Adnafik Mikul Mizbeach. And he has to go beyond the whole Mizbeach. That's the way Chazal understand it. V'yatzal Mizbeach means he's got to go past the Mizbeach. So if I'm on the north side, I'm going past the Mizbeach. So the furthest corner is the northeast corner. If I'm in the south and I'm going past the Mizbeach, so the furthest point is the southwest corner. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara comes to Robert's question. Rabbi Akiva, Nekiv Derech Yamin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, why is he going clockwise? He should be going counterclockwise because we always go to the right. Shai, you still with us? So always going to the right means if you imagine you're facing the middle of the Mizbeach, and you're always moving to your right, which is counterclockwise. According to Rabbi Akiva, he's moving to his left, which is clockwise. So let's take a look. So why is that? So the Gemara says, so again, there's two machlokot between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva. One is where he begins, and the other is, does he go derech yamin? Does he go counterclockwise, or does he go clockwise? So Rabbi Akiva says you go clockwise. So Leman's Rabbi Bar Yechezkel Tibetli. Should we say the machloket relates to the holding of Rabbi Bar Yechezkel? He says, I'm a Rabbi Bar Yechezkel. So Rabbi Bar Yechezkel said, Yam Shesa Shlomo, Omeid al Shnima Sarbakar, Shoshapanim Safona, Shoshapanim Yama, Shoshapanim Negbo, Shoshapanim Mizracha, Vayamali Hemi Lamala, Bechol Chorim Baita. So he quotes the Pasuk from Divrei Yamim, and also it looks like in Sefer Malachim, there's a Yamcha Sashlomo. So Yamcha Shlomo is also one of the Mepharshim, but Yamcha Sashlomo is the basin or the mikveh that Shlomo Melch built. He built this large basin for the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash. And the basin was supported by 12 metal oxen. And we have a picture of it here somewhere. Where is it? Okay, page 108. Okay, this is his version. It looks very small here, but this is a big mikveh here. I'll put it up for you, Ruth. Can you see it, Ruth? All right. Anyway, so that's the Yamcha Sashlomo. All right, anyway, you can see here, Gabby, if you want. Okay, so Robert, you can look up, you see the Yamcha Sashlomo. Anyway, well, it's a mikveh. So let's take a look. So here it looks like an ashtray, like in the picture, but yeah, but it's a mikveh. So let's take, so he says, the Pasuk says, it's Omeid al Shnei Masar Bakar. It's supported by 12 oxen. Shlosha Ponim Safona. Now, the key is the order in which the direction is given by the Navi. It's three of them are facing north, the beginning of north, and it's also in the Ketuvim. He says, Shlosha Ponim Yama. Three, so we're going north, and three are facing west. So I'm going north to west, with Shlosha Ponim Negba, and the three facing south, Shlosha Ponim Mizracha, three facing east. So we go north, west, south, and east. The basins on top of them, the backs of the cattle are like facing the basin. So from here one could deduce that whenever you're turning, you follow that order. That's what Rami Bar Yechezkel says. Now he says the Mizrach is really based on a different Gemara. The Gemara is talking about, this is borrowed from a different Gemara. The Gemara is talking about when you go up the ramp of the Mizbeach, you make a right. If you make a right, you turn to the east. But here, it's not talking about that way. So Mar, Itlay Rami Bar Yechezkel. So we think that Rabbi Yossi Gli subscribes to Rami Bar Yechezkel, that you always have to go Derech Yamin, like you were saying, Robert. Umar, Itlay Rami Bar Yechezkel. And Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe Rami Bar Yechezkel, and he holds, no, you could do either way. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The Kuliyama Idl is Rami Bar Yechezkel. Everybody holds from Rami Bar Yechezkel. Bahacha Bahakim Ifliti. Mar Sarvar Yelfinim Panimi Chutz. Mar Sarvar Lo Yelfinim Panimi Chutz. So one holds that I'm going to learn the Panim, in other words, the Yamcha Sashlomo is in the Azara, the base of Mikdash. We're trying to learn out of Oda in the Kodesh. So Mar Savar Yelfinim Panimi Chutz. One holds we're going to learn the Avoda in the Kodesh from what took place in the Azara. We could learn that. That's Rabbi Yossi Lili. Mar Savar Yelfinim Panimi Chutz. And Rabbi Kibis, no, we're not going to borrow like a claw we have in the Azara to use for the Kodesh. So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva and Hidl Yelf Panimi Chutz. But even if Rabbi Akiva is not willing to learn from the Yamcha Sashlomo here, because that's Chutz, and he's learning from Panim, but then he should be able to do whatever he wants. In other words, it should matter. Rabbi Akiva says that when you'll put the blood. So Rabbi Akiva, let's get Rabbi Akiva. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva says that he begins in the southeast corner, and then he goes to the southwest corner. He's got to go clockwise. But if he's not learning Panimi Chutz, he could go in either direction. Why does Rabbi Akiva Dafka say go clockwise? If you go counterclockwise, go clockwise. If he's not learning it from Rami Bar Yechezkel, he should be able to do either one. So he says, Amar Lach Rabbi Akiva, four lines from the bottom on the Tenement Days. Rabbi Akiva would say to you, Midina Behu Karen Depaga Bereisha Behu Abi Bereisha. Technically speaking, he should begin applying the blood to the corner that he passed initially. In other words, so he exited from the south. So the southwest corner is the corner that you should go, the first one. The Amar Reish Lakish Ema Avir LaMitzvah, because Reish Lakish teaches me I shouldn't pass by a mitzvah, like Yosef was saying. Why does he not do it to the southwest corner? Because the Pasuk says, he passes the whole Mizbeach. So we're overriding our general klal. So I'm going to the southeast corner. The kaven the ayibahu karen, but once he's applied the blood to the southeast corner, hadra aku lehu karen dechayv lemeitza bereisha. He's going back to the corner that he should have done initially, up the alacha. In other words, so he's passing by the corner, and he's going to the southeast corner. But now, once he's taken care of the southeast corner, it's only appropriate that he go back to the southwest corner. Once he's in the southwest corner, he's on a roll. He's going to go clockwise. That's the way Rebbe Akiva is going to learn. Okay? Now, that's on the top line of the Tenement Aleph. Let's cover some ground for tomorrow, okay? All right. Now, on the Tenement Aleph, the top line. So that's one way to explain the Machloket. So again, the question is, everybody agrees that you always turn to the right, but that's only Chutz, not Kinim. The Eboy Nema, or else I could say, Yisfirulon HaKafa Beregel, Puliyama Lo Pligi Yilchina Pnimi Chutz. If they would hold that you walk around by leg, by your foot, walk around the Mizbeach, everybody would agree that I would learn Pnimi Chutz, you go to the right. We're thinking the Machloka between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Sigluz as follows, Mar Savar HaKafa Biyad, that one holds, this is with Rabbi Akiva, he's going to hold that you don't actually go around by leg. If you went around by leg, I'd say, but Rabbi Kiva here holds that HaKafa is Biyad, that you're going to just stand in one place and then stretch your arm and apply the blood. The other one, Rabbi Yossi, completely holds that you're going to walk around the Mizbeach. You walk around the Mizbeach, then you should walk in a counterclockwise fashion. All right, that's one other explanation. Line four, Nun Tenement Aleph. The Iboy Neima, or else I could say, the Kuliyama HaKafa Biyad. I could say that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Sigluli hold that you're not walking around the Mizbeach. You're just stretching your arms. They both agree with that. The point of the Sukkah is, Bar Savar Yilchina Yami Regel. One holds, I can extrapolate the yad from the regel. In other words, outside of the Azara, it was a klal when I'm going Derek. I mean, I'm walking. So I'm walking. I have to always walk my right, count the clockwise. Here, I'm staying in the same spot and I'm doing my yad. So one holds, this is Rabbi Yossi Glili holds, that I can learn the yad from the regel. Just like the regel, I go count the clockwise. So if I stay in the same spot, I go in my hand, I also go count the clockwise. Because the Mizbeach is very small. It's just, remember, we said the act. Right. And most 2 feet. Right. So the Gemara says on line six, Umar Savar lo yachina. And one holds, the Kibbutz says, I'm just going to learn Niyad from Regel. Now, Gemara now has a question against that last shot. The Savar Rabbi Yosef Li HaKafa Biyad. So according to that last explanation, so they're both talking about applying Biyad. Nobody holds you walk around the Mizbeach. But Rabbi Yossi Gleili says, well, I'm going to learn Yad from Regel. So the point is, the Sabbath Rabbi Yossi Gleili, the Tafa Yad, I mean, Rabbi Yossi Gleili holds that the Hatafa was made just by hand, just by moving our arms. Rami Tani Sefer, we're going back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we said, the Sefer says, Rabbi Lezer made from Komo Mayel made, Umechate. The Tana Rabbi Lezer says, you stay in the same spot and apply the blood. The Cloud, the Tana Kama, the Surele, so it sounds like the Tana Kama disagrees with that. So who's the Tana Kama? So the Tana Kama, we identify as Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So it sounds like he's holding your walking. So El Mechvart Chanina Meikara. So rather, it's that last explanation doesn't seem to hold water, that one hold that they both hold the yacht, because clearly Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds walking the leg. But rather, the earlier explanation is better, Mar Sabar HaKafa Biyad and Mar Sabar HaKafa Bregel, that Rabbi Akiva is holding, I'm just using my hands, and Yossi HaGlili is walking around it. Now, we have the Ibai Ema, but the Gra takes those words out, and then Uvahak Hamifliki, and this would be then the point of dispute between them. Mar Savar Saviv de Mizbeach Pnimi, Kisviv de Mizbeach Chitzon. One holds that going around the inner Mizbeach is just like going around the outer Mizbeach. Umar Savar Kul Mizbeach Pnimi, Makomakata Karen Mizbeach Chitzon Koyf. The other one holds, which would be Rabbi Akiva, that the whole inner Mizbeach is the size of one Karen. In other words, the whole inner Mizbeach is one Amma by one Amma. One Amma by one Amma is the same as one corner of the outer Mizbeach. There are four protuberances in the outer Mizbeach. So that's like one Amma. So Mamela, you could stay in the same spot. You could stay in the same spot, and you could, in other words, it says, what's the Pasuk? He says, the Pasuk says, Al Karnon Mizbeach Saviv. He's going to He's going to apply the blood al karnonim zbech saviv around it. So the question is, what does it mean saviv? So one holds saviv means going around it, and one holds that just like you go around the atom zbech, you go around the inner zbech, but you would walk around the top of it. One holds saviv, in other words, the whole inner zbech, the size of one karen in the atom zbech. So you could stay in the same spot and apply the blood. Okay. Now let me just see if I have anything else to say here, and that'll be it. Let's take a look. What can I tell you? One second. Let me just do a little piece with this. This is about the Ema of Yirmal Mitzvah. So among other things, we said that that the coin, he passes by one corner. So normally we'd say Ema of Yirmal Mitzvah. You can't pass by a mitzvah, but the Torah says via Tzalim is there, he goes past. So the Chayei Adam characterized the principle of the Ema of Yirmal Mitzvah. We would delay the opportunity for one mitzvah in order to perform another mitzvah, which for the first mitzvah that arrives. Certainly inappropriate to push both the first mitzvah altogether in order to perform a second mitzvah. Ravaz proposes the basis for the restriction stems from our ignorance of the reward of mitzvah, because we do not know the extent of the reward of a particular mitzvah to perform each mitzvah as it presents itself. The Seif Tamid cites a difference of opinion regarding the guidelines for the explanation proposed by the Ravaz. Does the rationale apply even if the mitzvah falls clearly in two different categories? For example, does the principle, let's say the first mitzvah is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, and the second mitzvah is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So do I still say ein ma'avirin al mitzvot? He says, one position entertains the possibility the rational Ravaz applies in all circumstances. So I don't know schar mitzvot, so I don't know. So even the d'rabbanan, others disagree and maintain the principles and force only two mitzvahs are equal and similar origin, frequency, and kedusha. If, however, they are not equal mitzvahs, example, one is d'oraisa and d'rabbanan, one should pass over the d'rabbanan for the biblical one. Gets into like a different piece with that. Okay, so I think that's going to be it. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let me just end the recording. Let me just end this.